I hope you're glad you're here, and that you feel like you're in the right place this morning. And I hope that you're enjoying this nice weather as much as I am. Got to keep this off here. Anyway. Good morning. It's good. All right. Well, one thing I want to do this morning is just share with you just a little bit of news. I just want to take a moment and pray for those who are in South Africa and those in South Africa, those in Sudan this morning. I mean, they're under great persecution. They're not bringing it up in the media because they just don't want to, but I know that they are having those issues there. We are so blessed because we live in a country that has a freedom over there. They're just continuing to pull out those who are Christians and continuing to beat them down and burn them and do all the things that they do, yet the world doesn't look at them as worthy of going over and doing anything. So I don't understand that, but anyway, in Sudan, and there's some other places over there as well. Nigeria has some of it going on, and also in South America right now, there it's actually kind of opposite of what happened in this country, but they are actually is becoming a race war, a race of battles over there, and so we need to continue to pray for them. We don't get it because we wake up and get in our cars and we go wherever we want to. We can go shopping, we can do whatever. Yet over there, it's a survival piece, and we need to really seriously wake up and take our Christianity seriously and our freedom seriously, and but not just for ourselves, but we need to pray for those over there, and I'm going to do that this morning. Because the world is bigger than America. God's family is bigger than American Christians. Okay? Father, Lord, this morning, Lord, before we get into the Word, Lord, today, and we do thank you, Lord, for the songs this morning, but, Lord, at this time we want to lift up something not of ourselves but of others, people that we'll never meet, but we want to pray, Father, for those in the African continent, but those in Sudan and those in South Africa this morning. We want to lift them up to you, Lord. Because, Lord, you have loved people, and that we know that you come and offer salvation for all people. But we know, Lord, in Sudan that there are those who are being persecuted there, taking children and putting weapons into their hands and putting them into the army as they go ahead and they will kill their family right in front of them. And then they'll put the guns in front of their kids' hands and put them in their ranks. And Lord, those are young minds and young people, and they're being evil is just taking control there. We pray, Father, for those who are fighting that battle over there. And we just pray, Father, you'll lift them up. We pray, Father, for the gospel to spread. We pray, Father, for those in South Africa, Lord, with the uprising there again. Once again, it is uprising there. We pray, Father, for them. And we just ask, Lord, for your spirit to be upon that country and that nation today and the other places in Africa as well and throughout the world where those who call upon the name of Jesus are persecuted. Father, may we understand, give us eyes to see what we need to see and ears to hear the knowing, Lord, that when they hurt, we ought to hurt as well. But Lord, we don't. I pray, Father, that we would learn to do that. Lord, show us how to, because we can't do it without your spirit. We ask a blessing upon them and the safety upon them, for it's in Christ's name. Amen. Bible tells us that end times things will like that will happen, but it does not. But the Bible also tells us that we need to pray for our neighbors, that we need to love our neighbors as ourselves. So we need to do that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 9 this morning. We're going to talk about Saul a little bit this morning. I think what it is we in American church, we struggle so much, and we get on these little, I love the Lord. I know you do too. I love the church because Jesus established the church. But I think we struggle. I think we struggle with some things. Some of us, even in leadership, struggle. And what we struggle with, and we have this thing, and we struggle with, all of us, we struggle with, we get so much into what we're doing, and we put a bullseye and a target, and we believe, because we're a Christian, that God is a part of it. We, as Christians, we believe that we live right. As long as my conscience is clear, I guess it's okay. That's what we think. And I go to church, then I'm okay with God. Then I'm okay with God and what I'm doing. I must be saved. I must be saved because I go to church and I get involved with some things. I got my things that I do, and I really do them, and I do them well, and therefore I believe that I'm living my life right for God. And we find out sometimes that we are really far off. That we're really far off. Saul is a character. He is an awesome apostle. He is an awesome man as we see him as Paul. But as Saul, we see a different type of man. Wouldn't it be something that every time, when you got saved, that you got a new name? Just saying. But we're going to look here in Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Then it's verse 1. It says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, and he asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found anyone who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem, back to Jerusalem." I want to remind you that God sees everything. He knows everything. He knows what you do. He knows why you do it and how you do it. Here we see a man named Saul, and he believes what he's doing is right. Paul is a zealous guy. He loves God. But what happens is we get to this part where we can say that we love God, but then we start doing some things, and we start making those things more important than our relationship with God. Saul is one of those characters. He went out and he wanted to be the person who would go out and have the Christians, these people who believed in Jesus, arrested. And we know that he stood there and kind of irked on some people there when they killed and stoned Stephen. For Stephen was sharing the gospel, sharing the history. And it made people angry. They dragged him outside of town and they stoned him to death. And they laid their clothing and they lifted up a man named Saul. And Saul was very happy to see Stephen die. Here's what I see through this. Paul thought he was doing what was right. I am a flagship for God. I know I am zealous for God. I know what the scriptures say. I know it. I know it. And I was born to do this. And so somebody went up against the ways, and now he's going to take control of that. And those who were part of that loved him for being that way. And he thought God was a part of that. But what he did was he was right in his own eyes, but he was wrong in God's eyes. He thought and he saw it as being right. And so what he saw, what he did, he thought was right. But God didn't see it that way. And how Paul did it, he thought he was right. I'm going to go out and I'm going to have everybody arrested. I got letters that give me approval. I can go into these towns. I'm going to go to Damascus. And I've already done some stuff. And I'm going to run off to Damascus and I'm going to do some more work there. And I'm going to bring back a load of these Christians and we're going to put them in jail. We're going to do these things and some of them are going to be put to death. And he thought how he was doing it was right. Yet, for God, it was wrong. Okay? And how he did it, and what he did, and how he thought about it, and all those things, it was right in his own eyes, but it was wrong in the God's eyes. And he was zealous. But you see, here's the thing. I'm going to call him Paul. But this is Saul right now, okay? So Saul, he's doing this stuff, and he really thinks he's doing the right thing. And I want to tell you right now, he's a man of God trying to do these things and the old ways, all that. And I want to tell you, listen, he is not a saved man. We're going to look at that for a minute. Doesn't mean that God doesn't have his eye on him, because God does have his eye on him. Okay? Let's go on. Let's read just a little bit further. In verse 3, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the Goads. So he was trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And then the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days, without sight, he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. We see a piece here. Now we have this conversion piece here where he says, Lord, is this you? And it is. And so what we see here, there's a piece here that God is working with him. God doesn't always tell us what he's going to do with us next. And this is where we can get in trouble. We're trying to fill in the blanks. We want to fill in the blanks that God is saying, no, that's going to be a blank in your life until I reveal it to you, because you don't need to know what it is yet. But we always try to fill in the blanks. And what happens when we fill in the blanks, we become like Saul prior, and he begins to do those things. I think some of us today are trying to do some things that God has not called us to do, that God does not desire us to do, but we think that we're doing them right because we go to church, we claim to be that Christian, and maybe we are, but we're doing it, and we're doing it all in the wrong way. Okay? But on this road here, on this road, on this desert road to Damascus, what we see here is Saul has a conversation with Jesus Christ. I believe many of us have had a conversion, a salvation experience. Our salvation experience has been on a desert road, where we're going from one place to another, where we feel like we're going in the right direction. I felt like I was going in the right direction until God called me to do and to preach His word. I was going into my direction. I wanted to start a second chance home for boys between the ages of 12 and 17 who had disciplinary problems. And I wanted to work with them. And I was on that. And I had God in my agenda. I had all these things. But I was doing them out of what I wanted to do, what I thought was best. But we need to remember that what we think is best is not always what God thinks is best. Sometimes our conversation in our mind is too much about what we're thinking and not enough about praying and hearing what God is telling us. And so what happens is Saul has got an intervention here. He has an intervention here when it says it is hard for you to kick against the Goads. We may not understand that, but what it is that Jesus says, you're just hurting yourself. This is a thing that they use to prod the animals and some other things like that. And basically you're just pushing against you're just pushing against it, and it's not helping you. You're beating yourself down, and we do that as Christians sometimes. We're working against God. We're working against God with what we think is right. Okay? So we have to figure that out. Sometimes, even in some of our meetings and our staff meetings, even some of the other things, listen, you think you know where we should go, or I think we know where we should go. These are the things that other churches are doing. These are the things that works over here, or these are the things that works over there. That's not what God tells us to do. He tells us to listen to His voice. Listen to His word. Follow the vision that He's laid out for this place. Not for what's across town or what's on the south side or the north side. God's working with them. God's got a great plan for them. But for here, He is trying to impress His motives into this place. And when we push against it with all the other things that we're trying to add into it, with all the other ideas and things of that sort, we sometimes are pushing against God. And we see Saul doing that, and now Christ met him on that road to Damascus. Stop him. Stop him from continuing on this madness. Because he was not going to stop the church from growing, because Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And so Saul is fighting against that, and he's saying, listen, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. We go down here to verse 8. This says, then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. Move down to verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. It's awesome that people know when the Lord is speaking to them. Did you hear that? How quickly Ananias said, here I am. And he said, "Here I am, Lord." So the Lord said to him, "Arise and go down, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem." Let me stop there for a minute. We do the same exact thing. Not saying that it was wrong that Ananias said that. He just said, "I heard about this guy. He goes around and does things against God's people. He does some things." And he says, "And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind him. All call upon his name." We do the same thing when someone walks into our church that has a very sinful lifestyle that pops up and that comes in them. As soon as they're in the room, you see and you know that they are of drug use. You know that they've spent some time in prison. You know by their name, what comes with them. Because when you walk into a room, people know who you are before you even say anything. If they know you, that your presence is already there. If you have a criminal background and you've been in prison, people are, and they know you, they know when you step into the room, whether it's family or friends, they know. And we make judgment calls on people's lifestyles. We make judgment calls on people and seeing that they're not worthy of maybe our appearance. But the Lord says this, verse 15. He says, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine." He is a chosen vessel of mine. God has a plan for saved and unsaved people. Do you know that? God came that all might be saved. I think that's the first one right there. He came that all might be saved. But here we see this piece here that he has a plan for. God doesn't have to tell us his plans for everybody else. But here Ananias heard a plan. God says, "I have a plan." He is a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. See, you'll see this piece later on. When Paul begins to preach, he don't do very good with the Jews. He don't do very good with the Jews. Basically what happened is he just got done with it and he went right next door and started a church next door. Okay? Had a big Bible study next door and people came over and followed him there. Why? Why wasn't he great with the Jews? Because this is what Jesus says. He says, "I have chosen him to bring my name to the Gentiles." God has chosen him to be a speaker, a preacher to the Gentiles, kings. And we see that he does get in front of kings in the end of the book, right there, Acts, before he gets on the ship to go and get deserted on Malta. We see that he speaks with kings there and the children of Israel. He does some in some of the synagogues, and he does preach. But the Gentiles, the kings, and what happened is what Jesus has called him to and chosen him to, that's what he does. That's awesome. When God tells you, he calls you to something, you get on his thing, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. In a hotel room down in southern Atlanta, on the bad side of town, in a hotel room, God gave us a vision. Come back here. What's happening today? Vision is taking place. People's come, people's gone. But the vision has still stayed the same. Okay? And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. And we see that what happens is now is there's a part of him that there is a change in Saul's life and in his heart. And verse 19, so when he received food, he was strengthened. And then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now there's a lot right there. A caterpillar lives, this whole thing about a caterpillar, it lives on the ground and inches around, and it just eats the dirt of the, you know, it just eats things, and it's prey to the birds and all that, you know, and in the Bible, we see the parable of the four soil, the four soils, and we see that the birds of the air, Jesus does, are is the demons, it's the devil. And so what we see here with this whole thing with these caterpillars is they're on the ground and they are such prey to the devil, aren't they? They're so much prey to the birds. But when these caterpillars come to a point in their life, they'll go up to a branch and they'll put themselves in a cocoon. And what happens is they put, it's kind of disgusting, but they kind of digest themselves and it ends up being kind of a very liquidy type thing. And what they're doing is there's a small disc inside of them that just begins to come out of them, and those, all the features of what a butterfly will be, begins to come out through that. Once that whole digestive process takes place, but when the caterpillar is changing, and morphing into that butterfly, is at a very delicate stage, and it sits and it's in that cocoon, and it's in a very, because if it gets pushed, damaged, or pulled, or any of that thing, it's very delicate, and it may not make it through that. And then what happens is that process, it comes out, and then basically after a few hours, the wings are all wet, and basically it starts drying off, and all of a sudden it takes off and it takes flight, and it goes all over the place. And I think that's the same way that a person is in the world. When we're living in sin and we don't have Jesus, I don't care what you look like in the front of God's eyes, we're all sinners. We're all like from the dust of the ground. We eat the things that we should. We do things. We're living in the dirt. We're the lowest part of the earth. But when somebody comes along and begins to share, the Lord begins to pull us. The Bible says we can't come to God unless He draws us. And so here we see that Saul was being drawn by Jesus Christ in the desert. We see that great experience. Then we see that there needed to be a man involved with that to share some things and get that healing process and that whole thing about baptism, all that. And that was Ananias' response. Ananias, God called him to work with Saul through that. And so we see Ananias doing that. And so we see the process that there's a moment where this thing hatches and all of a sudden it takes a minute and it flies off as a butterfly. And butterflies are beautiful. Caterpillars are just kind of, they might look for, but nobody wants to touch them. They'll bite. They're just nasty. But a butterfly is beautiful. Isn't it amazing what God can do with a lost person when they come to Jesus? Take all day for a caterpillar to cross a road. Takes but seconds for a butterfly. God can do amazing things when people allow God to work in their life. What I truly believe is many times some of us get up on the branch and we don't like the morph stage. We don't like the process stage, so we just drop back down to the ground and we just live the rest of our life. And we might crawl up there again, think about this whole thing, and drop right back down again because we weren't really interested in it. We like the look of the change. We like the look of the butterflies, but people, they don't want the process. They don't want to go through the learning process. They don't want to do the things that we need to do. It isn't by works that we get to heaven, but it is by the process that God tells us to, through salvation through Jesus Christ. We see change taking place, but it cannot just be words alone. It must be by action. What did we see that Saul did? He went out immediately. He began to preach the good news. That's what he was called. He began to preach the gospel. He had one testimony. It is what Jesus did to him on the road. You'll see that he uses that testimony even in the front of Kings. And later on in the book of Acts, you'll see he uses that one testimony. I'm sure he had more, but this was his main one, just like I have one and you have one. The day that I got saved is the most powerful testimony that I could share. Because I'm no longer living in the ground, walking on the ground, but I'm flying, being that what I'm supposed to be, that I'm now a believer, not just a believer in words, but a believer in action, saved by the grace of God, living a life in my community, in my church, being a different person than what I would have been without Jesus Christ. Making a difference, knowing, because the world is lost. It is lost. And I'm telling you, some of us today, we look like we're saved. We're trying to act like we can be saved. We're out there trying to do something for God. And we don't even have Jesus Christ in our heart. We've lost the mark. We've lost it. We didn't even have it in the first place. But we think that we're doing it right because we just come to church. We think we're doing it right because we go to this event or we go to that event. Listen, if the event ain't right in your heart and in your soul, it ain't right anywhere else. We need to get it right. I want to remind you, because right now we are in a day of age where this is just crazy. You ready? Awesome. Somebody got it. Out of the mouths of babes. Your opinion, it does not trump God's word. God's voice does not contradict God's word, because God's word is God's voice. If you say God told me it was okay to live with someone and have casual sex, it is not God telling you that. It is your opinion and your feelings, but it is not God's word. Amen? Fornication is wrong. I need to preach that. You need to hear that. If you can't love your brothers and sisters in the church, and because you're upset with them, God tells us that we can work that out. And we need to go with them with a person, because we need to make sure that we don't get it all up in the flesh. If we need to apologize, we need to apologize. And this church there, listen, this church is not very good at apologizing to one another. I'll tell you that right now, because we are stubborn as goats on the field. Them goats at the zoo. Because I won't go in them goat pens. Because they get in the way. They'll gnaw. I'm telling you, this church is very hard on apologizing to one another. We have offended one another many, many times, because some of us can't close our mouths. We won't keep our mouths shut. Others of us, we bottle up and we just get angry and walk out the door. We need to learn how to work through those problems. And we took a challenge to grow up in Jesus, did we not? And the challenge isn't always the good stuff. It's the hard things that we need to do to grow up. We'd be able to walk up to someone and say, "Brother, I'm sorry. If I offended you, or sister, I don't mean to come off. I went off a little bit more than I should, or whatever it may be." We need to be more of that, because listen, there is no scholar that is greater than the Word of God. Saul's life is being turned upside down. He thought what he was doing was right, and he found out that what he was doing was completely against what God wanted. Once he figured it out, and he did not figure it out on his own, folks, Jesus had to come into that intersection on the Damascus Road. Ananias had to come into this story and begin to share and to comfort him, because he was blind. God wanted to feed. There's some things that we don't know, and Scripture doesn't tell us all the things and why that he was allowed that. Why those scales, or why he was blind? We don't know all of that. But what we do know is this: that it was temporary. That God allowed it to come off through the touching and through the praying of Ananias. Ananias was a very important person at this time, but he also had that part just like you and I do. But don't you know this guy, Lord, you sure about this guy? You sure that he should be a member of the church? You sure she should be a member of the church? You sure that you should turn this ministry over to this person, or ministry over to that person? I tell you, when you start asking questions like that, you need to go in the sink. You need to go in the bathroom, put your hands on the sink. You need to look in that mirror and look how awesome that you really are. And you'll find out that you're not that awesome. You'll find out that you got a lot of age coming on, like myself. You'll find out there's things about your face you don't like. You'll start seeing some things that you just might not be as good and awesome as you think you are. That you got some defects too. You know what I love about Jesus? He loves to work with broken people. It's just we don't like to work with broken people. God loves to call men and women out that don't have it all together, and so he can show his power and his great mercy and his great love upon them, so that they can go out and become something that they could not do on their own. Instead of being on the ground, crawling around like a caterpillar, they'll be able to fly and go and do great things that they can do. And so we see that peace there, even in this community. God has his hand on some. And in time, he'll call them out, or he's already called them, and maybe they have been stubborn. But some of them are doing what God's called them to do. You know, it's kind of funny that when these butterflies, when it comes down to the end of their life, they go off to they find a leaf or some kind of vegetation, and they lay eggs again. They lay eggs, and then they go off, and then they live their life, and they die. But you know what those eggs turn into be? Caterpillars. The Bible says we're born into sin. Are we getting that today? We're born into sin. Everyone needs Jesus. You can't be a butterfly. You cannot be born a butterfly. You're born a caterpillar. We're born into sin. It's through the change and the morphing change through us. It's through that change of Jesus Christ. It's that receiving Christ. But there needs to be a change, not just in words, but in action. So I'm asking you, truthfully, are you doing some things where you feel like they're right? You know, what you do, you go, I know this is right. How I'm doing it is right. Why I'm doing it is right. But if it's not right to God, then it's all wrong. Okay, so we need to make sure that we're getting ourselves right, which means that we need to be praying. Many times, when we are not doing what God has called us to do, when we are doing something against God, our prayer life has been really diminished, but the service has gotten bigger. So our talking to God has gotten small because now we're on agenda. And so the mission has gotten bigger. But whatever that may be, that mission part and the doing part has gotten bigger. So our relationship with God is diminishing, but that other part, that mission, that calling that we feel God is a part of, no. It's when we're doing what God has called us to do, the mission part can be strong, but it will not be stronger than our relationship with God. You'll find yourself, I can't do this mission without God, so I need to pray more. We don't know how to fund this mission without God, so we need to pray for. We're short on some helpers, so we need to pray more. Lord, we're not sure what we're doing, but we need to pray more. You see what I'm saying? When you're doing what God wants you to do, you will spend more time in prayer than you even will do in these other things that God's called you to do. But when you're doing them the wrong way, you'll spend more time doing and less time praying. Does that make sense? And I think Saul was doing a lot of doing. And I think we do a lot of doing. Change is the hardest thing for us to do, you know? You want to lose weight? Try it for a couple of days. We struggle with it. If you're single and you're looking for a woman, you're looking for a girlfriend, you're looking for a boyfriend, you get frustrated and then you end up going to the bars. Don't tell me you haven't done that. Or you go on some sites or whatever, you get restless. And then when you find one or you're doing something, all of a sudden you're all into it. Before you were praying to God, then you stop praying to God because you're on this road. And I'm telling you, this road may look great and it might have all the lights and the bling and all that, but I'm telling you, it gets dark real quick, doesn't it? Amen? It gets dark real quick. But when we do it God's way, listen, when we learn to be, and we say, Lord, what's going on? He's showing you patience. He's teaching you patience and perseverance. He's teaching you strength. He's teaching you faithfulness. He's teaching you to be steadfast. He's teaching you to work it out. He's teaching you to pray. He's teaching you to listen. Change can be difficult. But if it's what God wants, and if it's what we need, it's worth it. It's worth it. Saul was not the same man. After this experience, he was not the same man. He changed radically. I think that we as Christians, we that were lost and now have become saved, we need to be changing radically. Doesn't mean that all are called to preach, but we all have a testimony to share. We've gotten too caught up into what the world is doing. We've gotten too caught up into those things. We've gotten too caught up in what we want. And not what God wants. Last week I told you I believe that there's coming a time where Christian will be against Christian. And I shared that in the message. And I think that that is biblical. Because in the end times, I just really think today you know it. There are denominations out here today saying this lifestyle is okay. This is okay in the pulpit. This is okay. This is okay. And so you got that going on. Then you got the other one that's saying, you know, we want to stay true to God's word without changing it. If you have to change God's word to make you feel better, God's word is not wrong. It's you, right? Saul, persecuting Christians, met Jesus on the road to Damascus, went into town, met a man named Ananias, received the Holy Spirit, was baptized. A few days of restoring and getting his strength back. But we also see a part in there that Jesus says he is praying right now. He tells Ananias, Saul is praying as we talk. He is praying. We see the immediately response is that he is found. So excited about what he has learned. So excited about the revelation of Jesus Christ that he goes out and he begins to share the good news. We need people like Ananias that will share and help and encourage one another. We need people like Saul, who had a lifestyle but has changed for Jesus Christ, that will go out and share Jesus with others. Listen, I know some of you are kind of in a funk. Some of you are kind of in a low point. I get that. I've been there before. But one thing you need to do is you need to stay faithful. You need to stay true. You need to pray. You need to work it out, because you won't be there forever. You need to dig and work it out. Devil just loves to come and try to discourage you. That's all. He comes to try to get you to get a spirit of fear. He comes to try to get you depressed. He tries to get you angry. He tries to stir you up. Listen, we are children of God. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are the saved ones. We are the ones that have eternal life heading to heaven. We're the ones that get to see Jesus with a happy smile on our face. We're the ones that get to get there and kneel before the Lord and have the greatest, most awesomest worship ever. We're the ones that are the blessed ones. We need to live like it. We need to live like it. Amen? We need to live like it. Let's go ahead and stand. I'll give you an opportunity this morning. If you want to come and pray, that is great. That is always good. Prayer is always a good piece. As I get older and older and a little bit older, prayer becomes one of my favorite things. If you're like Saul and you feel like you're doing some things, you're not sure, maybe you just feel like you're not sure about what you're doing. You think it's right, it seems right, but you know there's just something that's off. Maybe you're not doing exactly really what God wants you to do. You're doing some things, but you're not doing really what you ought to be doing.